that back in, isn't he? But certainly we don't want to be in that that place or be that church like that, do we? We want to be somebody's open the door and let him in. Amen. Well, you know, last week we got started on online with you guys that were able to get in with us on it. We started a new little thought, and I told you it took me all month long to figure out about what we'll say about 2026. But we're thinking about this thought of, are you connected? Are you connected? That's what I want us to look at this morning again. Last week we just kind of, you know, did a little general, I guess you'd say, overview or a little thought on it. Talked about, are you connected or not? And, you know, there's a lot of folks that are not connected. Boy, don't we get upset when, you know, you pull out your little cell phone and you know, I've looked at her before and I say, well, I don't have any signal. I mean, we can't get nothing on there. You know, we get all bent out of shape. I mean, we get tore up, don't we? I remember me and Sister Lynn talking about the big snow that we had back in 93. And she said, you know, there were people, she worked in 911 at that time, and there were people that would call that were upset because they'd lost their cable. Amen? They were out. Now, people without power, you know, ability to get out and do anything, and people calling up, well, my cable's out, where y'all going to get up to? And I don't know when it's going to get fixed, but hang on, you'll get back. Just be glad you got power, you can eat, you got water, and take a bath, and all those things, right? But we do. We get all upset about lost connections down here, don't we? You remember, I think I told you last week online, the old guy walked around and said, can you hear me now? You remember, he's wanting, am I connected? Well, that's the idea. Are we connected to whatever it is that we're missing at that particular time? But I think more than anything, you and I ought to have a little insight on the idea of, are we spiritually connected? Amen? Are we spiritually connected? So look with me in the book of Joshua, if you will, and let's go to something real familiar, chapter 24 in the book of Joshua, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 14. Verse 14 in Joshua, and as I say, most of you know this. If you look at this whole thing, it really starts in chapter 23, and it continues into chapter 24, which is the last part of the book of Joshua, last chapter. And then it bleeds on over into the first part of the book of Judges, some of the things that go on over. But chapter number 24, verse 14, the Bible says, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And as the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage, which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. Therefore, we will also serve the Lord, for he is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord, for he's a holy God. He's a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and all the people, we serve the Lord. Let's have a word of prayer. For this day and your blessings on us, I pray bless us as we look, hear from as you hearts today, and God just bless us in the choices that we do make. Give us that desire and that design and that want to in our hearts and our lives. From God, and we thank Him. We'll pray for everything that you do. We love you today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. As I said, this whole conversation starts back in chapter number 23. Joshua calls everybody to him. And if you know a little bit about your Bible history, Joshua calls them in, and the Bible begins to tell, you know, he begins to say, look, y'all, I'm old and I'm tired, and we've gotten this far by the grace of God, by the goodness of God. We've got. And really go over some of, if you will, the people as God has brought Egypt and brought place and into the promised land. Thank God, hey, he's able to bring place that he is to us. Amen. Aren't you glad you got a promise from him? Aren't you glad God's done, man, that he's brought you something that is. He's brought you someplace that's wonderful. He's brought you into a life that is good and glorious and godly, and I thank God for it. Amen. Now, you know what? We're just like they were. They had to fight the enemies of the land. God did not tell you that, you know, there's a lot of folks get all this confused about going to Canaan is not the same thing as going to heaven. This is the promised land. But, brother, in the promised land, there were still battles to fight. There were still wars going on. There was still stuff happening, right? And they had to get in there and battle. But you know what? God said, I'll give you victory. And that's what he's telling them as Joshua gets ready to go off the scene. He's telling them all these things. So what I want to talk to you about this morning, the idea is this. There in verse number 15, realize that you have to choose if you want to be connected. Amen? Choose if you want to be connected. Are we connected? I mean, that's what we're talking about. And I'm saying today, choose to be connected. Have you chosen to be connected to the Lord? Or are you just kind of over here on the sideline somewhere saying, well, I'll get by. You know, it'll be all right. Brother, I want to tell you something. God wants me and you plugged in. Amen. Hey, I can tell you, there have been a lot of times in fooling with some of these things, and sometimes, you know, it's old equipment and old stuff, but you get a speaker or something that's an amplifier or some type, and you got a cord. Amen. You get a cord and you plug it in, and if something's not right with that plug, you don't get it plugged in right, you ain't got nothing. It'll give you no sound, or it'll give you a distorted sound, or it'll be a feedback kind of thing. You'll have all kinds of messages. If you're a fool with anything like that, you know what it is, right? And you hear that. You know why? It ain't connected right. What I'm telling you is if you're not connected right, if you do not choose to be connected how you ought to be connected, then, brother, you're going to live a half-hearted, halfway Christian. It ain't going to be what it could be. It will not be what you desire. Hey, brother, I want mine to be plugged in. I want to make my choice. I want Joshua was here. This. Now, it's evil to you. And that word evil means if it seems like it's the wrong thing for you, he said, then choose whatever you want to serve, the God that your father served, whatever. He said, but as for me and my house, we're going to choose to serve the Lord. Amen. And I want to tell you something. Y'all choose that today. That ought to be your choice, is you chose to serve the Lord. I want you to look at that just in three short things with me, or three little things. I don't know if they'll be short or not. We missed last week. Amen. We'll make up the difference. No. I'll try to get you out of here in a little while, okay? First of all, let's talk about the first part of this choice is this. Believing in and believing on the Lord. I mean, that's the first thing you gotta choose is, are you going to believe in him? And I mean, really, believe on him. The Bible says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Amen? And then you got to make that profession and that confession out of your mouth. But you're going to have to believe this thing down in your heart. Listen to what Joshua says to him there in verse number 14. He says, now therefore fear the Lord. Amen? Fear the Lord. What does that mean? That means, hey, you better be at a place where you believe in what he said and everything that he has done, everything that he's shown you, everything he's put out there before you. Brother, you got to believe. You got to believe it. In the Lord. Let's tell you what I think about that. First of all, you ought to be in awe of the Lord. And you show that by having a fear of the Lord. You see that in verse 14? Now, therefore, fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. Hey, we've lost our fear of God in our world today. I mean, how many people, I can take it or leave. But let me tell you something. In these old days, in the Old Testament day, they were fearful of the Lord. And they reverenced it. And that's what the idea of fear has, is that you have a reverence of the Lord and who He is and what He does and how that He acts. Let's have some fear of God in our lives. If you want to be a real Christian, have some fear of God as you stand before this world every day. In other words, when you got the right kind of fear, brother, folks will notice your life is acting and behaving in a different manner. Why? Because you fear the Lord. Amen. Amen. They know you're different. They understand that. I think those men on the boat with old Jonah understood there's something different about him. They knew there's something. They drew straws, and he drew the short straw, if you will. And they said, come on, tell us what's going on. And he began to tell them. God had called him to do something, and he said no, and he's on the run. And they said, those men got all shook up and said, you shouldn't ought have done that. Hey, that's the way it is. When people understand that you fear God, they know there's some consequences when things don't go exactly the way ought to. Amen? So I'm saying, first of all, you and I ought to have some awe, be in awe of God. You ought to stand reverentially and trustingly and look at God and say, what an awesome God. What a wondrous and what a fearful thing that it is to stand before the living God of heaven. Amen. You know what it'd make you do? Make you think about what you're about to do when you realize there's a God that's watching you. There's a God you should be in awe of. There's a God you should be respecting. Hey, do I break into this building or not? I believe I won't, because God might require consequence of me. Well, should I go do this deed that I... Maybe I won't, because I know God is watching. Brother, folks need to have a holy fear of God again. Amen. Here's Joshua telling me. He said, look, boys and girls. He said, fear the Lord. You know what he says first? He said, now. Brother, I believe some of us need to fear Him now. Not later, not tomorrow, not next month, not next week, not when things get tough, times get hard. You better fear Him now. Amen? Fear the Lord. But not only be in awe of Him, but I'll tell you this, you ought to be available to serve Him. Listen to what he said. Fear the Lord and serve Him, he says, in sincerity and in truth. You and I ought to be ready to serve God. And if you're going to serve Him, you see what he says? Don't do it in a fake way. Don't do it half-heartedly. Don't do it with just lip service. Don't do it just as, oh, well, I'll try to get them to shut up, so I'm going to do this and this and this. No, sir, you better serve Him, he said, in truth and in sincerity. You better be honest about how you're serving God. Amen? I mean, your service toward God, it ought to be true. It ought to be faithful. It ought to be real. Can I tell you, folks can sniff out a phony in a hurry. Amen. They know when you're faking it. They know when it ain't right. They know. You remember what Peter did when the fellow over in the book of Acts came to him and wanted to buy that ability to touch folks and get the Holy Ghost and all that. You remember what old Peter looked at him? He said, your money perish with you. He said, you ain't right with God. Your heart's not. You need to repent and get some stuff straightened out. Woo, you know what that did? That old boy broke down and said, brethren, pray. He said, pray for me that none of these things which you said will come upon me. Amen. Hey, I'm telling you, let's do what we do and be in awe of God, and then let's be available to serve God, he says, in truth and sincerity. When you get ready to serve God, don't do it because mama said you had to. Don't do it because daddy's making you. Don't do it because of it's my duty, it's my thing, I got to. Brother, I'm telling you, you better do it honestly and sincerely for the good cause of Christ. Amen. Amen. Oh, I believe we ought to do it. I believe we ought to do it with an honest heart and an earnest heart. I mean, don't just put on that little Sunday face and, oh, well, I'm smiling today and everything, all that. Hey, God sees right through that. And you better have yourself an honest and a sincere heart. God sees and God knows everything about every one of us in this building. Amen? He does. You can put on that Sunday smile and that little phony face and straighten up your halo, but God still knows who you are. Amen? And I'm telling you, he knows. You know what the old timers used to say, one of the old preachers used to say? He said, your greatest ability before God is your availability. And I'm telling you, God's looking for some cheerful folks. God's looking for some ready folks. Go back to the example of Jonah. Can I tell you, Jonah went down in that whale's belly, and after 3 days after being down there, brother, God let that whale spit him up. He done got his mind, I'm ready to serve God, amen? Hey, you may have to go through some stuff to get you in that shape where you're ready, but then you're ready. You're ready to go and do it in a right way, amen? Go and get ready to serve God in an honest and a sincere heart and a sincere matter. So be in awe of Him. Be available to serve Him. But be alienated from all the other idols and gods of this world. Look what he said there in verse 14. Now therefore fear the Lord, serve Him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Put anything that gets in your way out of the way. Amen? I mean, you get yourself alienated from that stuff that's bogging you down. Well, preacher, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that on Sunday, and I'm going to go here, and I'm going to... Hey, you better alienate yourself from those things that may bog you down. I mean, I know there are people that just, oh, well, I've got to get in on this and that and the other. And you know, God, if I got a chance to help you, if I got a chance to serve you, if I got a chance to go to church, I might. Hey, let me tell you, you better get alienated from anything that'll separate you from those things that you should be doing for the Lord. That's serve Him and awe Him, fear Him. I mean, be humble in His sight. Thank God, make yourself right there ready to get alienated from everything else. Amen. Get everything else out of there. And you say, well, preacher, you're crazy. Well, I may be. I may be, but I'm just telling you, I'm reading you the Bible right here. And guess what? I didn't say this. This is what the Lord's Word says. God told Joshua, He said, you tell him this right here. And he begins to unload the wagon. So first of all, he says, you should have a real sound and solid belief, believing in the Lord. But notice this second of all, if you will. I believe we ought to talk about believing in the Lord. But let's look at cleaving to the Lord. You ought to believe Him. Believe in Him. Get your heart set on believing in Him. But look over in chapter 23. Look down at verse number 8. Now again, as I say, this thing has started over here. Joshua has started his commendations and his commands toward them. Look here in verse number 8, he says, but cleave unto the Lord your God as ye have done unto this day. Cleave unto the Lord. Can I tell you, we don't throw that word around too much in our language today, that word cleave, but it means to have a tenacious hold on something or someone. I mean, cleave. The biggest thing that we relate it to now probably in our day and our society that I do is marriage. The Bible said that a man leaves his father and mother, he joins himself to his wife, and those two have decided that they will cleave together. In other words, they have joined themselves together as one, right? Isn't that the understanding you get about marriage? Well, that's exactly what he's talking about here. He said, look, cleave to the Lord. I mean, it's going to take some things, right? First of all, he said, if you're going to cleave to the Lord, here's some things you're going to find that's involved with it. First of all, you're going to have some concentration on the Word of God. Look in verse number 6. Look what he says. Be ye therefore very courageous. In chapter 23, verse 6. Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left. You know what I'm telling you? I'm telling you, you better believe the Word of God. You better get you a Bible and stick to it. There's not any of, well, I'll do this, but. Or we'll change this to so it'll accommodate this and that. No, sir. Can I tell you? He says right here very plainly, be courageous to keep and to do all that's written in the book of the law of Moses. And notice what he said. He said, don't turn to the right or turn to the left. He said, you need to concentrate your efforts on the Word of God. We got folks today that are, you know, they're about like they are with the IRS. Can I find a loophole? Somebody say amen right there. Isn't that why people try? Well, how can I get out of this? How can I get away from that? How can I, and I'm telling you, that's the way that our world is today. How can I find some way to override, to overcome, to get away, or to, you know, kind of make it, well, that's not quite what I want to do. So let's change it a little bit. Amen? Hey, that ain't right, is it? That's not right. It's not what you ought to do. There is a set of laws in this book from God. There's a set of standards. There's a set of things. And, you know, people just, they just get all beside themselves when you begin to point out the Word of God. You know, the Word of God says that God created two sexes, didn't he? Male and female. In the beginning, he created them. Amen? I mean, can you change that? I can't. And guess what? God knows what he's doing when he makes a man and a woman, a woman. Amen? And guess what? There are no other genders. Poof. You know, hey, folks, and I'll get into this just for a minute, but you hear these people talking about, oh, well, you know, there's all of these genders. Can I tell you something? When folks go to a doctor, and they want to change their gender, isn't it amazing that they even... You know, all that mumbo-jumbo. And one of them wants surgery. They go, they're a male, they want to be a female. Female, they want to be a male. That kind of crazy stuff. Can I tell you? God still knows what he's doing. Amen. Amen? And he put you in the right place, the right body, the right time, the right way. Amen. Amen. We throw that in, that's free. Amen. That won't cost you nothing today. But I'm just telling you, hey, this is the Word of God. God said, look, you look at my Word and be very courageous to keep and to do all this. Sometimes it takes some courage to stand up and stand upon the Word of God. You got to be courageous. I mean, this world's going to shoot you down. This world's going to tell you, no, it's not so. They're going to vote this way and change this and allow for that, all that kind of stuff. You just have to make a stand. Amen? Make a stand. I mean, I don't mind standing for the blood of Jesus. I don't mind standing telling you he's virgin born. I don't mind telling you I believe this is the perfect, absolute Word of God and that truth is contained. I don't mind telling you those kind of things. Why? Because I'm standing on that, not on anything else this world has. So he is telling them, Joshua's telling them here, he said, look, you ought to have a concentrated effort, and that effort should be staying with the Word of God, not with what man says. Amen? You get in the Word of God. Not only that, I believe it involves that, having a concentrated effort. But look kind of verses 7 and 8 in chapter 23. He said that ye come not among these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of God, nor cause them to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow your down to them, but cleave unto the Lord your God as you've done unto this day. He said, look, you ought to be concentrating, have a concentrated effort on the Word of God, but then you ought to have a separated thinking in how you deal with the things and the ways of this world. Now, what do y'all think? Me and Sister Lynn's been married 3 years, and we're going on four, three and a half, I guess, really probably more like it, 3.5 years. What if I went home one night and I said, honey, I think I'm going to go out on a date tonight with some other lady. How y'all think I'd go over? Wouldn't go over well, would it? It wouldn't be good. She'd say, you might ought to pack your stuff and get out of here. And I think any of you other fellows that went in and tried that, you know why? Because you have separated yourself in that marriage ceremony and in that marriage vow. You've separated yourself to that person. I mean, I took it pretty serious. That little fat guy stood between us, and he said, "Do you take her?" I said, "I take her." And he said, "Do you take him?" She said, "Okay, I got to." But I'm telling you, we took each other. And giving yourself to this person only, well, you'd be here and do this, you know, go through all those little vow stuff. And if you did that, you did it, right? And you said, "And unto her or him only, I pledge myself. I'm pledging myself to them." You know what you've done? You just separated yourself from the marriage market, right? I mean, you're not out there hunting. You're not out there looking. You're not out there dating. You're taken, right? Thank God when you got saved, you got out of the marketplace of the devil. Amen. You separated yourself unto the things of this Lord. You said, "Lord, I'm yours and you're mine, and praise God, I'm glad of it." Amen. Right? And that's what he's saying. He said, "Look, don't even talk about them people. Don't mention the names of their gods. Don't swear by them. Don't serve them. Don't bow yourselves down to them. You have chosen the Lord." Amen. Amen. That's your choice. I mean, that's what we're talking about. Getting connected to him. It should be a time of separation. You've separated yourself from the rest of that stuff, and thank God you belong to him. Amen. I mean, it's a separating time. It's a separating thing. You should be separated from the world. Amen? I mean, you're separated from this world. You're separated from the distractions. You're separated from the flesh. You're separated from the devil. You're separated from everything when you take on the Lord. Listen, you ought to delight in him. Y'all get delighted in the Lord. Isn't that what the Bible tells us? Delight thyself in the Lord. Amen? And you ought to be where you're depending upon him, and you ought to be totally devoted to him. Amen? That's the way it is when you got married. Right? I said, I'm happy with her. I'm delighted with her. I am depending on her, and she's depending on me in marriage. And listen, I've given my devotion to her. She's given her devotion to me. That's what separation in this world in marriage is all about. Amen? Now, don't you talk bad about somebody when they say, "Well, so-and-so's running around with his wife. So-and-so over here, we've seen them out doing, you know, this and that and the other." Right? I mean, don't that get around? Well, sure it does. You know why? Because you've broken that trust. Thank God it's the same thing. When you get saved, the Lord's looking for you to get separated from, he said, cleave to the Lord. Cleave to him. Not somebody else, not something else, not other ideology. Listen, can I tell you something? People come in here and they say, "Well, you know, the Muslims." No, they don't. They don't believe the same thing. They don't have the same Bible. I'm not hooking up with them because I can't. I'm married to Jesus. Thank God I'm staying with him. Amen. Amen. And that's what the Lord's talking about here. Cleave to him. There should be a concentrated effort on his word. There should be a separated thinking about him. And there ought to be your associations, the people you associate with. It should make a difference. Your associations. Look at him. Verse number 9. He said, "Look, for the Lord hath driven out." God has driven out some things away from them. He said in verse number 9, he's driven you out from before you, great nations and strong. "But as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you unto this day." And he said, "Look, you don't associate with them. Take good heed." Or he said, "One of you shall chase 1,000, and the Lord your God," he's fighting for you. He's promised you. "Take good heed therefore unto yourself that you love the Lord your God." He said, "What I'm telling you is this, be careful of your associations." Who are you associating yourself with? I mean, who you lining up with in this world? Let me tell y'all something that well, it's baseball. So me and her know that baseball. I don't know if any of y'all remember this. Y'all probably, there ain't nothing y'all probably, but during this past year in baseball season, there was a guy named, that was a catcher named Danny Jensen. And he played for the Toronto Blue Jays. He was a catcher for Toronto. One day back in, I think it was June, they had a baseball game against the Boston Red Sox. And they started playing. They played on until like the fifth or sixth inning. The score was tied, so they played what they call a suspended game. The game was suspended. The score was tied. Nobody won, and they would come back at a later date. Whenever the two teams got back together again, they would play the remaining part of this baseball game. Danny Jensen was the catcher for the Toronto Blue Jays that day. A funny thing happened just a few weeks later. He got traded to the Boston Red Sox. They started to play the suspended game, and now Danny Jensen is playing catcher for the Boston Red Sox. He's the only guy in MLB history that's ever two teams on one game. Game is not. So now they go back into the game, and now he's on the other team. Well, he acted like Red Sox that day. I mean, he had on his Boston hat, had on his Boston shirt. He looked at them guys and said, "We hate them guys in that other dugout." Well, about a few months ago, you was dreaming it to him. You didn't like it. He said, "Well, I'm with this guy now and I hate them." Amen? Can I tell you, who are you associated with? Hey, can I tell you, when Paul got saved, his associations changed. You remember when Paul got saved, that he went to the synagogues and he began to preach Christ over in chapter number 9. You can look it up. He's there in the synagogue. Everybody look at him and say, "Ain't that the guy that used to put people in prison?" And look at him, he's preaching now. And they said, "Yeah, he got saved." You know what he did? He changed sides. He went to the other team. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for that? Thank God I got saved and I changed teams. Amen. Oh, I used to be like the rest of them. I could cuss and carry on and rare and do things. But thank God when he saved me, I went to the other team. Amen. Amen. That's what ought to happen in our lives. For Jesus, we ought to be where we know that we have changed in our lives, that something has happened. Your associations are deepening. You're cleaving. You're saying, "I'm not with them anymore. I'm over here and I'm latching on to this group." Amen. I'm a Christian now. My ways have changed. My associations, my affiliations, my loves, my wants, my desires. Everything has changed because I'm on this team now. And guess what? We're on the winning side. Amen? We're on the winning side. Amen? So there should be some believing in the Lord. There should be some cleaving to the Lord. Last of all, look at this. There ought to be some achieving when you get into the Lord. Look back over in chapter number 24 again. And as you go on through this, Joshua's told him, he said, "Now you got to serve God. You got to choose. You got to get in here and make a choice." And as you choose, he said, then, you know, you ought to show up in that choice. There ought to be some things that are achieved and that you have achievements in your life when you choose up with the Lord. Look down in verse number 24. And he's talking to him. Well, verse 23, he said, "Now put away, therefore," said he, "the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel." He said, "Let the people," and the people said unto Joshua, "The Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey." So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote the words in the book of the law of God and took a great stone and set it there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, "Behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto us. It is therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God." So Joshua let the people depart, every man to his own inheritance. I mean, Joshua says, "Look, boys, this thing's pretty serious. And God is wanting to do something in your lives. So you're gonna have some things that will be achievements. There will be some things you're achieving. This is going to be something that's going to be real." He said, and for that to happen, first of all, in your lives and in our lives, there should be a recognition of the Lord. You better recognize that it's God that's done everything that's been done for you. Right? I want you to notice about this recognition. The Lord's doing all the work. Look back in chapter number 24. Flip back your page, maybe if you need to. But look down in, if you will, in verse number, we'll start out in verse number 3. And listen to what, this is Joshua saying, this is the Lord speaking. In verse 2, and Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. Look down in verse number 3, he said, and I took your father Abraham. You notice what God said? I took Abraham, and I brought him to the other side of the flood. Look in verse number 4. And I gave unto Isaac, Jacob, and Esau. He said, I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess, and Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. Verse 5. I sent Moses also and Aaron. He said in verse 5 at the very end, and afterward I brought you out. Verse number 6. And I brought your fathers out of Egypt. Look in verse number 8, and I brought you into the land of the Amorites, and I, at the end of it, destroyed them from before you. Verse 10, but I would not hearken unto Balaam, therefore he blessed you, so I delivered you out of his hand. Look in verse number 11, at the end of it, he said, and I delivered them, all of their enemies, into your hand. Verse 12, and I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out from before you. Verse number 13, and I gave you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you built not, and you dwell in them, and of the vineyards and the olivers which you planted not, you do eat. Look, you know what God said? I want y'all to know I did it. You didn't do it. I did it. If you're going to achieve anything, you and I, first of all, need to recognize that it's the Lord that really does all the work. There's going to be any achievement in our life. Listen, you better look up and say, thank God he did it. Give him some glory. Give him some. I didn't do it. You know what? Sometimes we won't take that on. Oh, well, look what I did. You didn't do anything, especially anything in the work of God. God, you need to recognize that it's him that does everything. Praise God. Aren't you glad God shows up? Aren't you glad God enables you to sing? Aren't you glad God enables you to give? God gives you the money. God gives you the cheerfulness. God gives you the ability to work. God's done every bit of those things for you. Amen. It, don't you ever forget he did it. That's what he's telling them here. He said, look, you better, in any kind of achievement, you better realize, you better have a recognition that it's God that has done all of these things. But second of all, there should be a submission unto him. Look in verse 24. He said, now look, you've got to have a recognition. God did all this. But in verse number 24, he says, and the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. We are submitting ourselves to him. We're bowing in submission to the Lord. Joshua said, y'all won't do it. You can't do it. I don't believe you're going to do it. I believe that you, if you back up on God, hey, and they said, nope, we have made our choice. We're choosing and we're declaring it today before everybody in the world, his voice will we obey. I want you to realize something. It says in there, and people said, his voice will we obey. From verses 4, verse 20, you'll find that there are 13 times that word serve is mentioned. Served or serving or some variation of the word serve. It is mentioned 13 times to serve the Lord. Brother, can I tell you, I believe there was some heavy emphasis on serving God, don't you? I mean, serve him. He said, serve him. You got to serve the Lord. And they said, we're going to serve him. We will serve. We will be serving the Lord. And he said, boy, let me tell you something. If you don't, God's going to be upset. God's not pleased when you make a promise and then you back up on it. God's not pleased when you fall out of the way. You should learn to, you need to know how to submit yourself to the Lord. And I want to tell you, there's not a one of us in this room that are perfect at that. Are you good at submitting? I'm not sometimes. I don't. We should submit ourselves. The Bible says we should submit ourselves to the Lord. We should submit ourselves to one another. We should submit ourselves to our husbands or our wives. I mean, there's all kinds of things of submission in this Bible. And sometimes I do a rather poor job of it. Amen? And I bet some of you do too. Oh, we get all bowed up. I'm not going to do that. Yeah. Boy, isn't it hard when God breaks you and says, yeah, you're going to do it. Amen? We don't like it sometimes, do we? Yeah, you remember that? You just get that lip pooched out there. Remember being a kid? Mom and Dad told you to do something. You might have done it, but you didn't like it, right? Might have been like that little boy we've talked about, got over in the corner when his mama told him to go over there, sit and think about what he had done. And he sat down in the corner, and he didn't like it, and he was mumbling and grumbling, looking in the corner. His mama went over in a little while and said, "Are you about straightened out yet?" He looked at her, and he said, "I may be sitting here on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside." Right. Amen? And that's the way a lot of us are toward God. Right. We may go through some motions and do some stuff, but on the inside, we're still not in submission. We ought to be, as I told you, like Samuel was when he was there in that bed that night, and Eli told him, he said, "Next time you hear that voice, just say, 'Lord, thy servant heareth.' Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth." Have you heard him? Are you submitted to the will and the place of God in your life? Not only should there be some submission, but don't you notice this? There is a commission. God gives them a commission through his servant Joshua. And you'll notice what it says there, verse 25. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day. You know, that's another one of those words, covenant. It's like that word cleave. We don't use it a lot today. Covenant. Do you realize, again, let's go back to marriage. Your marriage is a covenant. A lot of folks think marriage is a contract. Contracts can be broken pretty easily. Contracts may have loopholes. But a covenant is something that is binding between two persons, between two subjects in some way, people that are subject to each other in business or whatever it is. But it is a binding agreement. It binds you. Your marriage, sir and ma'am, that's a covenant between each other and with God. You've made a covenant, amen? And you should realize. And it says here in the Bible, anytime you see them talking about a covenant, that's a pretty serious thing. God made some covenants throughout the Bible. God made the covenant with Noah. Covenant with Noah was when God said, "I'm not going to flood this world anymore like I've done." You know what he did? He put a rainbow in the sky. He said, "This is my promise. Every time you see a rainbow, it ain't got nothing to do with a group of people in this world, folks. Hey, that rainbow is a promise in the sky. It's a promise that God said, I'll never do what I did before. I promise you, and you can believe it." Amen? God made that promise. Then he made a promise with Abraham, didn't he? He made a promise with Abraham, and he said, "Abraham, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make you the father of many people. I'm going to just give you all of this land wherever your foot tries. I'm going to do this for you." Thank God that was a promise from God. And guess what? It hasn't been completely fulfilled yet, but I believe it will one day. Amen? And then along came Moses, and Moses was given the Ten Commandments, and God entered into covenant with the people of Israel, and he said, "These are my laws, and I will do for you." And you can go back and read that, what he said he'd do if they keep them and do and follow him and all that. That was the agreement with Moses, or the covenant with Moses. And then after that, there was the Davidic covenant. And that was the covenant between God and David. And God said, "David, as long as things go and as long as there's an heir, you're going to have a king on that throne in Israel one day." And you know what? I believe that's coming to pass too, don't you? It's going to be Jesus, thank God. And then finally, if you want to think of it this way, the New Testament is a covenant with us. when Jesus died on the cross, shed his blood, cleansed us from our sins, rose again on the third day, and said, I'm going to take care of you. Thank God you've got forgiveness. You've got eternal life. And praise God, he's never made a promise or a covenant that he does not keep. Amen. God's never made one. Here he's making another covenant with the people, and he covenants with them. And usually a covenant in that day, it said, so Joshua made a covenant with the people and set them a statute and an ordinance there in Shechem where they were all gathered together. Usually in those, the word covenant has, under the idea of it is to cut. It means something that is cut. And generally, what the idea of a covenant was, it was so binding that you'd see people walk between. If they offered a sacrifice, they would spread it out into two pieces, two separate pieces. And people would walk through it, and they would declare, if anything breaks this vow we've made in this covenant with this cutting, that may the Lord make us as these sacrifice. May he do this cutting to us if we break this vow, this promise, and this covenant that we've made. You know what that means? That's pretty serious stuff. I mean, that's pretty serious stuff. And Joshua makes a covenant between them and the Lord this day. And buddy, he says, look, y'all realize this is pretty serious stuff. He made a covenant. He set a statute. I mean, he wrote the words in the book of the law. He took a stone, set it up under a tree, made them look at that and say, this rock has heard everything you've said. And anytime you see it, you're reminded, hey, I made an agreement and a pledge and a promise to God. Amen? Oh, let me just tell you. I do. I love it. I still do. I mean, you take your hand, put it over your heart. I pledge allegiance to the flag. Amen? I mean, you're making a pledge. You're making an oath. You're making a covenant, if you will, a promise. I pledge allegiance. I'm pledging my allegiance to this flag and the country and everything that it stands for. That's, you know, a lot of people go, oh, well, we pledge allegiance. Don't even think about it. That's what we're supposed to be doing, is pledging our allegiance. Amen? You ever watch these dudes, these military folks? They take those pledges and put their hand on that Bible and they begin to pledge and say, I'll uphold the laws and the Constitution of the United States, blah, 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 blah. So help me God, whatever it is. Wow, that's a pretty good pledge, folks. Don't be a liar. Don't be a breaker of those covenants. Hey, keep them. That's what Joshua is saying to these folks. I'm making this thing real. I'm making it solid. I mean, this is your choice. You've chosen this. And I believe God's going to hold you to it. Have you chosen the Lord today? Have you chosen to get in on the things of God and realize you've got into this new covenant between us and the Lord himself? And he promises to do certain things. But you know what a lot of us have done? We've promised to do whatever we promised to do. And you know what? I want to live for him. I want to honor him. I want to worship him. I want to be what I ought to be before him. And I'm making that pledge. Amen? I'm making that. I don't know where your heart is today on that. If you're not saved, you need to come get saved. If you are saved, hey, maybe you need to renew that pledge and that covenant and that desire that you ought to have for the Lord today. Brother Ronnie, come on. We're going to sing something. Maybe God's going to speak to your heart about some things. But in these covenants, we understand about God's character. We understand about some guidance. We get some guidance for our life. We get some hope and assurance. And we can connect ourselves with people of like faith, can't we? Let's all stand, if you would, this morning.